notes during the sermons, and I think that's great. Today I'm going to help you out with a little bit of notes. Something I've not done in quite a while is give you a handout. The handout is pretty simple. It may look confusing to you. I'll give you some direction on it here in just a moment. So don't try to study it too hard. It's really not complicated. We're going to look at a thought that came to my mind this past week, and it was based on a passage in Ephesians that we're going to look at this morning. But we live in this world of no restraint, right? We live in this world where the world says there's no restraint, and as believers, God says there is restraint, restraint through Christ. The world says if it feels good, it must be good, then you should do it, right? And yet God teaches us that only do my will, do what I'm calling you to do. And so the song that kind of popped up in my head, or that I actually heard a piece of on the radio, was that children's song. Remember this song? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you do. You're all going to sing it now in your head, aren't you? Well, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love, so be careful, little eyes, what you see. And it goes on, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Little mouth, what you say. And I added a few more. Be careful, little heart, what you treasure. And be careful, little mind, what you think or meditate on. So with the Lord's help, we're going to look through this today and understand a bit more how it applies to our hearts as well. I didn't have any children that I could have come up and sing the song for us, though it crossed my mind a number of times. We're not going to do that today, but perhaps this afternoon we can run something together. But passage that we're going to look at today teaches just what these children's song presents. So if you would please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Yes, I'll have the passage up behind me while I read it, but we'll be going through this passage and going back to it very often, and I will not have those verses up above me. So you'll need to have that passage open. Everybody should have a handout in their hand. Handout looks just like that, right? I might even give you the opportunity for some interaction today. How does that make you feel? Some of you make you feel very nervous. Others, it makes me feel very nervous. Let me just tell you that. You know what I'm talking about. All right. So the way this is going to work, this handout, pretty simple. The right side, all the way to the right column, it says Ephesians chapter 5 on the top. It says 1 through 21. That's verses 1 through 21. We're going to cover 21 verses in Ephesians chapter 5. On the left-hand side, there's a bunch of other passages listed. These passages directly relate to the topics across the top of the chart. Eyes, ears, lips, hands, feet, heart, and mind. So this is not complicated. As we cover these passages, you simply put an X in the box under the column that it's talking about. The verse talks about eyes, then you're going to put an X in the box that says eyes. Okay? The part that's a bit more complicated was this side. What you're going to do there is as we go through these passages in Ephesians, you can go ahead and write the word eyes or ears or mouth or feet or hands when we get to those verses when they apply. Make sense? All right. That's your in-house homework that we're going to be doing this morning. Let's start with a prayer. Lord, thank you that we can be here this morning to worship you. We've spent time worshiping you through song and through prayer. And now, Lord, we open up your word and we look at it as a mirror into our hearts, as a reflection of who you are and how we should be more like you and how our lives should represent you, Lord. And I pray, Father, as we look into this passage today, that you would guide our hearts and our thoughts, and that all that we do would bring honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality and any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Or in verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are in light of the Lord, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all good things and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of these things, of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things done become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Be careful, little eyes. You'll notice that I left the word little in the context of these titles today. And yet you probably look around and you go, my hand's not very little. My eyes are kind of big. Got big ears. I'm not a child anymore. But in context of our relationship with who God is, are we humble? Do we have humility? Do we recognize God's sovereignty? Do we recognize the greatness and awesomeness and magnificence of our Lord and Savior? With regards to that, we are very little, right? We are very little. But we often allow pride to interfere with our perception. And compared to God and His perspective, we are still very small, meaning that we can always demonstrate more humility and dependence on who our mighty God is. So I'm going to leave the word little in there as we go through this. Not physically, perhaps, we have small hands or small feet, but that humility, we should have the attitude of our stature compared to who God is. Okay? Be careful, little eyes. Ephesians 5:3 is the first verse that I'm going to touch on this morning. But immorality and any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Much of these sins originate through our eyes, right? We think of immorality. Think of impurity. Those are things that we typically look at that start that path of immorality. It's things that we gaze upon that we shouldn't be, allowing into our hearts and into our minds through our eyes. Lust, covetousness, right? You can't covet somebody else's things or somebody else if you're not looking at it. So the first one is to be careful what we look at with our eyes. The eyes are the gateway to our heart and to our soul. And Paul's very direct here to the church in Ephesians, that Ephesus, that they are to be careful of immorality, to be careful of impurity, to be careful of greed. All things that when we're looking, what? Not at ourselves, but at somebody or something else, right? We're to be careful. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. This will be where you notice that it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness, Jesus says. So you're going to check that first box in that first column. It's eye, right? Matthew 6, 22 and 23. This comparison that our eye is a lamp. A lamp that is dirty or a lamp that is muffled is not a good lamp. It's not very bright in providing light for the room or light for direction. He says, if your eye is clear, then your whole body will be full of light. Clear. What does that mean, clear? Clear that we don't have anything over the top of it? No, clear that what we're allowing through it. Clean. If we fill our eyes, which feed our soul and our heart and our thoughts with proper things, things that are of God will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Not just physically, if you can't see, if you're blind, you can't see. But if your eye is bad, if you're looking at things that are not godly, things that promote immorality, things that promote impurity, then you're full of darkness, right? First Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. Why did I put this with eyes? The old thing that I've said over and over again, you are what you eat, right? You start to become like those that you spend time with. You start to take on their characteristics. You start to take on their desires, what they say, how they act, what they interact with. And before long, when we're spending time with people that are of bad character, we become ourselves to have bad character. Is it harder to turn a bad person good or a good person bad? Which is easier to do? Is it harder to change somebody's heart that is already on the wrong track towards good things? Or is it easier for the good person to slip and fall bad? It's character of our sin nature, right? It's easier for the good to slip into the bad. And it's much harder to dig the bad person out of that hole to the light into the good. Bad company corrupts good morals. What does this have to do with our eyes? Well, typically when we're hanging out with those individuals, we're spending time with people that are outnumbering us, so to speak, on morality, we're going to start watching and doing the things that they do. And it's going to take us farther away from the light. Psalm 101:3. Great passage. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Can you make that commitment? I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. That means things that I'm going to look at, right? Media, television shows, movies, pornography. You know, the old saying, oh, I can watch rated R movies. I just ignore all the stuff that's bad. Right. Right. It affects you. It decays away at your spiritual soul. I challenge you to go home today and look at your libraries at home. What books, magazines, media do you possess that is not pleasing to God? that Satan's sly lie to all of us that I only pay attention to the good stuff in those shows or the good stuff in that book. The bad things I just ignore, the language, the visuals. I don't look at those. That's Satan's lie, and he's just eroding at our soul. Spend a lot of time on eyes here, right? Spend a lot of time on eye. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. So if you're a follower of Christ, that's who you're looking at, right? That's the pattern. That's the standard. Everybody that's here today has some level of a desire to be more like Jesus Christ, or you wouldn't be here. You may not fully understand it. You may not have made a public commitment towards that, but yet some level, that's why you're here today. Okay, that's the goal. That's what you should be fixated on. That's what your eyes should be focused on, is God's Word and Christ's example. Not looking to the right, not looking to the left, not being distracted by things around us. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. The world is very distracting. Good things that we even try to do tend to turn out bad, perhaps, because of distractions. Because they draw us down the wrong path. I couldn't help but put a little comic in here to remind us of the funnies of Family Circus. Remember little Billy? Always been told to do something. Mother says, little Billy, you need to hurry up and take this package out. The mailman's coming soon. Well, what did little Billy do? He does what my kids basically did. Never got to the right point at the right time. Did 1,000 things first and distracted and then missed the opportunity. We can't be distracted. All right, that's eyes. That's eyes. If you're following your handout, the first four sets of passages should all be checked on your eyes. Right? The first four things, Matthew, 1 Corinthians, Psalms, and Proverbs, all four of those should have an X under eyes. But some of those passages bled into some other areas, didn't they? There's other things besides eyes that those passages cover. So I'll get you that at the very end. Ears. Ears. Ephesians 5, verse 6, out of the passage that we read, verse 6 is directly discussing ears. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Empty words. Empty words. Empty words. Let no one deceive you with empty words. There are a lot of people that have a lot of information that really have nothing to do with anything. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? I mean, we're in this information age, right? We got to know everything. You know, you want to know when the president's dog sneezed, right? It's you can find it out there on the internet, right? Information. But that's not half of it. It's then people giving us information that are contrary to who God is. Contrary to the truth of His Word. And they're deceptive. How do we protect ourselves and our hearts from deception? How do we do that? When we're hearing things. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 12. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. It's just knowledge in general. Applying our hearts to knowledge in general. And our ears hearing words of knowledge. I'm sure there's a lot of well-intended professors out there that have some great information to share, but it's contrary to who God is and His character. So what knowledge are we talking about? Godly knowledge, not worldly knowledge. Knowledge that's based on who He is and His character. How do we find that out? Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the Word of Christ, right? By God's Word. Faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing what? The Word of Christ. God's Word. are you in God's Word on a daily basis? Are you in God's Word on a daily basis? Every day, do you open His Word and read a passage? I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. We'll have to confess if you're failing in this. But let me just ask you this. Do you check your email every day? Do you go on Facebook every day? Do you turn the TV on every day? Do you flip on the radio every day? Are you in God's Word on a daily basis? What are you filling your ears with and your mind with that is contrary to who God's character is? It's discipline, right? It's not always easy. It's not always fun. If you like to do those random pop the Bible open passage readers, you might be in Leviticus or something like that, and you're like, poof, right? Have a plan, but be in God's Word on a daily basis. Why? Faith comes by hearing. By hearing the Word of Christ. Are we strengthening our faith by hearing God's Word? Mark chapter 4, 24 and 25. He was saying to them, take care what you listen to. And he goes on, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. More will be given to you besides. Whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Very directly and very to the point, the first part of verse 24, Jesus warned his followers to what? Take care. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you listen to. All right. Lips, mouth. Be careful, little lips or little mouth, what you say. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Going back a little bit here to verse 4. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Why should there not be any coarse jesting or talk? Because it's contrary to who God is. It doesn't build people up, it tears them down. What's not fitting? It's not fitting for those that are followers of the light, for those that want to claim to be Christians. There must be no filthiness in your talk. Don't get caught up in those discussions with others. Don't get caught up in those conversations that are not encouraging or building up the character, but tearing it down. You know, when I was a child, I still remember this. I said something that was not appropriate. What did my mom do? Took me to the bathroom. Some of you are shaking your head. She grabbed a bar of soap and she washed my mouth out. Said, if you're going to talk dirty, we're going to clean that up. A couple times after that, I learned my lesson. Soap doesn't taste so good, and I learned to watch what I say. Those are really things when I said a word that maybe I heard somewhere and didn't really know what it meant. I knew then what it meant. Or was disobedient or talked back. You know, and those of you that are younger parents are probably thinking, oh, that's just child abuse. No, it's child cleansing. That's what it is. Okay. I'm not any more strange than I would be with or without the soap. Okay. The soap helped me realize the importance of being careful, even as a child, what I say. What I say. Mom would simply say, your words are so dirty, we have to clean them up. Right? And probably your parents, or some of you perhaps as parents, even did the same to your children. How about Matthew chapter 12? Verses 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vapors, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Just think about that for a second. That's pretty heavy, you know? That's pretty heavy. Right, we can easily get the first couple verses there to say, hey, we're known by our fruits. Okay, the things that I do in life is where my heart is at. If I don't have love or kindness for people, then I'm going to show that in my life. I'm not going to care about anybody. But verse 36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Watch what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. It's a parallel passage here in Luke. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. I've met some very angry people in my life. People that are very mean in what they say. I feel bad for them because that means their heart is very hard. A lot of anger in their life. A lot of anger in their heart. Is that how a believer should be? Is that how we, who are sitting here today, who want to follow Christ, should live a life? That our words come out angry, or our words come out harsh, or our words come out condemning or putting people down? No. That's not right. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. You know, it's impossible to retrieve a word once you say it. Right? Now, if we're typing an email, you know, we could type something out, and I've done this, typed an email out, and then I'm, you know, maybe a little upset about something, and I wait. I go back and read it. I'm like, whew, glad I didn't hit enter. Right? You can take that back. You maybe typed it out, but you didn't say it. You didn't send it. But once you say something, you can't get that back. You say something hurtful to somebody, you can't just retrieve it. The damage has been done. That doesn't mean the person can't forgive you and won't forgive you. It doesn't mean you can't try to make restitution and make it right. The point is, the scar is there. We have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful how we talk. Unfortunately, when something has been said and it's hurtful, it's very hard to mend, isn't it? And I think everybody here can probably think of a time where something has been said to them that has been hurtful. You still remember it. You may have forgiven the person, but it probably still is pain, right? Hands. Hands. Careful little hands. Ephesians 5:11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Unfruitful deeds. That's something we're going to do. Use our hands to do things, right? Psalm 24, verses 3 to 5. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Clean hands, doing things that are worthy of the kingdom of God, doing things that are encouraging, doing things that uplift others. Clean hands, that's what that means, a pure heart. Serving God, using our talents, using our gifts to promote His kingdom, to promote His will. Do you have clean hands? What are you laboring at with your hands? Is your labor for the kingdom? So I'm going to give you four hands. That's it. Feet. Feet. Careful little feet where you go. Got three different verses in Ephesians 5 here that directly talk about this. Verse 2, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So walk in love. Number 8, verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. And verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So we're not talking, can you balance when you're walking? Are you going to fall over? No, it's the pattern of your life, right? Your lifestyle, your decisions. Walk in love, he says. Walk in the pattern of Jesus Christ, who is the light. And be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Wise in who? Wise in God's eyes. The standard of His word of what wisdom is. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. This is the idea of life's direction, right? Life's direction. Watch the path of your feet. What direction are you headed down in your life? Is it coinciding with what God is calling you to do? Does it demonstrate the characteristics that we learn about Him in His Word? Does the pattern of our life, does it lead towards eternity, right? Not turning to the right, not turning to the left, meaning not getting distracted by the world's temptations, the world's poles, if I can say it that way, right? But staying the course. Not the course that you've chosen, the course that God has called you to be on. And simply turn your foot from evil. Sometimes you're on that path and you start to stray a bit. And you know you shouldn't be doing this or you shouldn't be doing that. Then turn from it. Right? If you're walking and you know there's a cliff and you're going to fall off and die, you change directions, right? Or, spiritually speaking, half the time we go, I think I can handle this. Woo! We just jump off. And we find that we fail. Turn from the evil. Turn your foot from that. Don't run towards it. You know, Jesus, we read in the New Testament that when we're tempted, God provides us the way of escape, right? That's the turning your foot away from evil. He provides a way of escape. When that temptation comes and Satan throws it at us, and they're going to come, and he wants to drag us down and distract us, and bring us off the path that God has on, that's when God says, I'm going to give you a way of escape. Just look for that and turn away and go that direction. Psalm 1:1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Where do you allow your feet to take you? Do you walk in the counsel of wicked? Do you spend time with those that are not building your spiritual character but are tearing it down? Listen, there's a fine line here between evangelism and trying to convert somebody to who Christ is and playing the game of what they do. Do you understand that? There's a difference there. We can't be hermits and crawl up in the corner of the world and say, you know, I'm saved and I'm not going to worry about anybody else. No, we interact with people. We interact. But, you know, this is where, and I know there might be a bit of a difference in some of this from my opinion compared to others, but the passage talks about yokeness, right? Being evenly yoked. We use that a lot for marriage, don't we? Spend a lot of time on that, how the yokeness is about marriage. So we should marry a person that is a believer, equally spiritual, that we can grow together, right? That's what we use that passage for that. But you know, it's more than that. That yokeness is in all areas of our life. It's in our business life, right? I've made a commitment to never have a business partner that is not a believer. Okay? Why? Because it's going to put me in a situation where that business partner who doesn't know Jesus Christ may want to make decisions that are contrary to who he is. And I don't want to be in that position. Right? Friendship. Who are you yoking yourself with in your friendship relationships? Do you hang out with the guys at the bar on Friday night? Unevenly yoked. Hanging out with the friends from school that have a different agenda than what is contrary to what Christ is? Unevenly yoked. Doesn't mean you can't represent Christ to them. Doesn't mean you don't show Christ to them and be a light. But you can't be of them. You can't be part of them. Because that just draws you away from Christ. It goes back to our 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good morals. Right? The one believer in the midst of the party scene is not going to change the party scene. Does that make sense? It's not going to happen. The party scene will change you. You might like what I'm telling you? It's what it is, right? So please be careful. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We can't lean on our own understanding. Can't lean on letting our hearts do what we think is right. We can't do what we think is morally correct, because you know what? We're going to be wrong. We're going to be wrong. We cannot lean on our own understanding. Instead, we should acknowledge who Christ is and our path straight towards who He is and what His Word teaches us. Ephesians 4, 1-3. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Called to follow Christ? Walk in such a way. Represent Christ in all that you do. Represent Christ in all of your life. With everybody that you talk with everybody that you touch. Going to pick up the pace here just a bit. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer him. Again, we become like those we spend time with. We become like those we spend time with. All right. Be careful, little heart, what you treasure. Ephesians 5, verses 2 to 4. He talks about walking in love. Love is a heart characteristic, right? Love comes from the heart. Verse 3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. Immorality stems from our hearts. Greed, a desire to have something more and not content, stems from our hearts. We have to guard our hearts. And verse 4 talks about no filthy talk, right? No coarse jesting. And then he says, but rather what? Giving of thanks, a heart attitude. Being thankful for what God has given us. Being thankful for where we're at. That doesn't mean complacent. It means thankfulness. There's a difference. God's calling you to do more for Him. You do more. But not because you're not content with what God has given you. Right? Thankfulness. Heart issues. Luke 6:45. We covered this passage. Look at it again. What? The treasure from a man's heart brings forth what is good. Good treasures, good things come out. Evil treasure, evil comes out. It all stems from the heart. We have to guard our heart. Look at another passage a second time. Proverbs 23:12. Again, apply your heart to discipline. Then talks about your ears to the words of knowledge. Listening to God's Word, reading God's Word, but then applying the things that you've learned in your heart to your life's actions. Marrying those things together. The thought, the instruction, to the action begins in the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart. That's New American Standard. I put both of them up here. NIV also. Above else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. Guard it. Protect it. I know I'm over. We had an extra hour. We're good to go. So just sit tight. Fathers, let me talk to you for a second. Especially fathers that still have young children. It is your job to guard your child's heart. Do you understand that? It is your job. Do not rely on your children to guard their own heart. If you have teenagers in your house, you better be auditing their telephone, their text messages, their internet usage, their computer usage. Because you, as a father, have to guard their heart. Oh, my kid's good. They don't do that. Baloney. Guard their heart. They need you, as a parent, to take that role. They're going to fight you on it. They're going to tell you it's an invasion of their privacy. They're going to tell you it's not allowed because you know what? That's what the world tells them. You have rights. Your rights are you have your own privacy. I don't care if you're 7 years old, you have rights. And you have privacy. You want to hear about that conversation in my house? Talk to one of my kids. We've had that discussion. Because the schools force it down their throat that says, your parents don't have a right to look at your stuff. They don't have a right to do that. It's not because parents want to be nosy. It's because we're supposed to guard your hearts, kids. That's what we're supposed to do. My kids are playing on a train track and the train's coming. I'm going to get them off the track. Right? The parent that says, oh, they'll figure it out, is foolish. Sorry. Guard your child's heart. Brothers that have young children, start today. Guarding your child's heart. Protect them. All right? Absolutely. Yeah, it's not just young children. And that's why I say, you know, teenagers. And you know, I've gotten to a level of the audits have become less and less in my house with my children because they've never disappointed me in those areas. Okay? But if I suspect it and they don't like it, we figure it out. We figure this out real fast. Because guess what? If they're angry about it and they want to combat you on it and they want to argue with you about it, guess what? There's a problem. Okay? But if they're open and willing to share, yeah, they don't want you to see all the little that the girls have back and forth and whatever. I get all that. Know your children, guard their hearts. Okay? And you can't guard their heart if you're not guarding your own. You can't. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on what? Your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. We need to be leaning on God's wisdom and His truth. Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, what do you treasure most? What do you worry about the most? Your heart will follow what your desires and values are. Okay. Psalm 51:10. This really needs to be our desire and our prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Asking God on a daily basis, create in me a clean heart. Renew that, Lord. Help me to be steadfast in my spirit. And this is how we do it. In Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensive, will do what? Guard your heart. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That leads us right into the final one, which is our mind. So we know that if we're in God's Word and His peace will guard our heart, it will guard our mind too. Ephesians 5:17. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understanding, that's the mind. What is God's will for your life? Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, then what? Dwell on these things. Right? That's in our mind. Dwelling on these things, meditating on them, thinking about them. The things that are what? Things that are true. The things that are pure. The things that are honorable. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Final verse, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, where our mind is at, our thoughts, renewing that, transforming it. Renewal and transform means what? It's something different. It's not the same. Right? It doesn't say modify your mind, adapt your mind. It says transform it. Make it something different. What's the difference? The difference is that of God's mind, that of God's character, that of God's teaching. I feel like Al here today. I'm going over 10 minutes. And you can tell him I said that. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. Be careful what we see. Be careful what we hear. Be careful what we say. Be careful what we do. Where we go. What we treasure in our hearts, what we think and meditate on. Not because we fear that we're going to get caught. That's not the purpose. Not because we're afraid we're going to get caught, but because God first loved us and we want to love Him back. Right? That's why we do it. And then we choose to be careful. We choose to be careful. At a time, your page should be full. Down the right column, you should have everything written there. A lot of repeats and a lot of verses that cover multiple things. If you want to look at this in more detail, we can do it after the message here. Sean, we should have a short wrap-up number, and then we'll have a closing prayer.